welcome to the Holistic Matters podcast series. This is all about helping you become the you that nature intended. We're broadcasting today live from the Florida Chiropractic Association National Meeting, so the world's largest chiropractic event. And so we're here with Dr. Annette Schippel. Thanks, Annette, for joining us. We're excited to talk to you.
Yes, thank you. Right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
So you've been in chiropractic for about
20 years.
20 years.
I know.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
Fantastic. So how did you develop your interest in chiropractic, and what led you to want to become a chiropractor?
And you know, my story is not common. You know, usually someone had the light bulb moment or the chiropractor that did something tremendous and changed their life. Actually, I was looking for a career change. And kind of growing up in a family that we had our own garden, very, very active, kind of a physical family, not much into running to the medical doctor for anything. And my older sister, who's also a chiropractor, Dr. Doris, she's kind of told me about it. And she had decided to go back to school. And I thought, this could be kind of interesting. You know, I think I might really like this because I like the idea of, I like the idea of working with people from a whole body perspective, which I think is kind of where chiropractic shines, is that it's about the whole person.
Right.
It's not just about one isolated organ or anything like that. So actually the most aha moment is I went and toured Logan University, and I just knew. I like, this is where I belong. The funny part was I'd never been adjusted in my life.
Oh, really?
I'd never been adjusted.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, but this is what I'm going to now do.
Did you talk to a local practitioner before you enrolled?
You just went right into it. Literally,
wow.
I had talked to my sister. I do remember trying to get adjusted once when I was pregnant with my second child. And he told me it wouldn't help. I was like, okay. And of course, now I realize how wrong that person is. I mean, how much it does help pregnant women. But no, I would say it was a bit of a leap of faith. But it was, if you've ever had that moment where you know that you're in the right place at the right time and that is where you need to be, that was exactly how I felt. I just wanted to be part of this profession and that school and all that it entailed.
Right.
So it was a little bit.
So you epitomize the whole concept of being passionate about whatever career you pick.
Yeah.
Right, right, cool.
Oh, it was. And I didn't know. You know, when I was going back into school to get my education, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and nothing had really struck.
Right.
And that stuck.
So you did your professional training at Logan.
Yes.
And what did you do your undergrad?
I did my undergrad in Springfield, Missouri. So it was just, and then we did some finishing up for prerequisites in St. Louis. So it was just kind of a hodgepodge, yeah.
I was going to ask you, I grew up in the Midwest too. There's Southwestern and probably Southeastern.
Yeah, there was Southwest Missouri State
University.
Yeah,
right.
It was what it was called back then when I went there.
Oh, yeah. What's it called now?
MSU.
State University.
Nothing ever stayed.
Interesting, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you have a nutrition exposure there or
no, I kind of stumbled onto nutrition. I don't want to say accidentally, but it was not my intention. Actually, when I got out of Logan, I was pursuing my diplomate in pediatrics. I already had children. I loved working with moms and women and children. So I was actually pursuing that, and I think I kind of felt maybe a little bit stuck in what I was able to do. And I had gone to seminar. It was on functional endocrinology, and that was the next big aha moment, because I went, oh my gosh. Like, it made sense to me, because I was getting frustrated that the adjustment wasn't enough, right? Because you come out of school going, this is going to kind of fix everything, right? Everything is going to be good with just this adjustment. I'm going, wait a minute, this is not working out the way I thought it should. So when I attended that seminar, it was like, okay, I thought of our bodies, the endocrine system, a whole nother way. Because in school, you know, it's always pathology. It's now you're at end stage, you got a lot of problems.
Right.
Whereas from an optimal functional standpoint, you're looking at, okay, how do I keep you from getting there?
Yeah.
Or if you're there, how can I make your life better? And that really attracted me a lot, because it felt more inclusive of the whole body, the whole system, the whole person.
Yeah.
And so I got pretty excited about that.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So how would you describe your practice today? You know, I feel like I want to ask you, like, is it 50% nutrition, 50% chiropractic? But in reality, I think the right question is, you're 100% chiropractic, but what percent of that do you introduce and use nutrition?
So this is an interesting timing of this particular question. I've often said that if I could go back and do it all over again, I would include nutrition from the very beginning. And I think this is one of the reasons I love to teach so much, is that I don't want people to take so long to find it. Because when we do introduce nutrition early on, and we have, or at least have the conversation, right, like, this is what I do, I'm can adjust you, but this is also something that I'm very good at and that I can help you with. Instead of, I don't like the idea of feeling like we're reduced to, and please all chiropractors forgive me, but I'm saying that, like, we're a spinologist, like we're the spine, right, which is amazing, but if you're not looking at lifestyle, you're not looking at diet, you're not looking at nutrition, and where they get their nutrition, my goodness, I think that it took me a while to get there, right? Once I got there, though, it has been a trend for me to do less, actually a lot less chiropractic. Uh-huh. And so right now my practice is predominantly nutrition.
Yeah.
So I look at it as being an integrative physician, where I'm utilizing different labs, different tools to look at the whole person.
Right.
If they, many of my patients already have a chiropractor. So they're usually coming to me for the specialties, the places that I specialize in. So that's great, you know, because I still believe so much in my heritage, right, and my roots, and that everybody should get adjusted and should be addressing the spine and so forth. But it's not the dominant part of my practice anymore.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Part of the reason that we come to conferences like this is just to help increase the awareness of how nutrition can play an important role in support of chiropractic adjustments. I mean, one of the best examples that I like to talk about to practitioners generally about is that even with the adjustment, when you do that, and as good as that can be, is that you're introducing a little bit of inflammation as part of a normal response to the adjustment. And we know that nutrition can provide a very important support for that recovery process or response for a better result.
Right.
And it's those kind of things that you've had and have taught that I think is an important insight for more and more practitioners to appreciate.
I've been kind of saying this lately, and that is that, you know, you really have to look at the whole person, the whole body, right? And that we move, so our biomechanics, that's where the adjustment comes in. Our lifestyle, so how do we handle stress? You know, how do we think about things, our emotional health? And actually it's really like the triad. We call it the subluxation complex, which is, you know, the physical, the psychological, and then the environment. So it's trauma, thoughts, toxins, the three T's. And it was kind of funny, it was when I got back into speaking at events like this and, you know, incorporating nutrition with the chiropractic that really, really brought me back to the quote unquote subluxation complex.
Yeah.
But if any one of those is missing, it doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
You can't supplement your way to health.
Right.
So if you can eat all the great supplements you want, but if you're not taking care of the physical body, you're not taking care of the emotional part, you're only going to get so far.
Yeah, right.
So it is a good thing to do.
How hard is that to convey to a patient? You know, especially a patient who's not already into the health and wellness concept. And what do you do with that patient?
Because I've structured my practice a little bit differently, so I have what we call a See If We Fit consult. So the See If We Fit is a short one. They get to meet me, they get to bring up some top concerns, but more importantly, I get to express my philosophy about how I'm going to approach, you know, their health and help them to get, you know, to a better place. So because I believe so much in what I do, it's pretty easy. Like, I'm pretty passionate. And you know what? And if it makes them feel uncomfortable or they're just not there yet, and sometimes people aren't, like, you can be the most brilliant person, say all the right things, have all the right things to back it up, but if someone is not ready for you, they can't hear you.
Right.
So what I've done is I've done that aspect so that if they've been referred to me, they have this opportunity to kind of decide if this is right, because I'm not out to convince the unconvincible.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
And of course, you can't do anything if you don't believe it first yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's actually been going pretty well for me.
Yeah. So I want to shift a little bit to another topic and talk about, you know, the role and then, frankly, the importance of women in healthcare in general and women in chiropractic in particular. And so, you know, fortunately, if we look at the say, statistics of the student profile population in schools, it's getting better all the time. It's about 50% are female students, and that's great. In the profession as a whole and across all chiropractic, it still lags behind.
It does.
And the last statistic I heard was somewhere in the neighborhood of about 70% of practitioners are still male.
Yeah.
But you know, you're a great example. You're a great model of women in healthcare and women in chiropractic. What's your perspective and the insight you might share with particularly young women considering getting into health fields and chiropractic in particular?
I think that there's always a challenge where, and I think I faced this too early on, where I always kind of felt like I had to juggle family more with the business. So it was kind of, I would step out of the practice more, do less hours because of having children and this, that, and the other. And I think that this is a challenge that many women face. Now, I think the beauty of seeing more women in the healthcare industry, and certainly with chiropractic, we were chatting a little bit earlier, there's kind of this misnomer, misunderstanding that you have to be big and burly to adjust.
Yeah, right.
Like if you're not this big studly person, you're not going to get the adjustment. I will tell you, it's been really funny. There's been times when I've walked into a room and I would have a guy that I'm about to adjust look at me and go, I could just tell in their eyes, and there's no way. And I'm just be like, right. Oh, just watch me, right?
Where's the big burly guy?
Yeah, and actually, yeah, that too. And what I would tell women, and I think this is really important, it's so much more about the finesse. It's so much more about the technique. Yeah. If you have the position right and you're doing the right things, you don't need force to be able to do a great adjustment.
Right.
The other thing that happened for me, because I am a woman, and women are the gatekeepers, right? They're the gatekeepers for health at home.
Right.
And they're also the ones very oftentimes that are going to seek the help, and they're more likely to embrace the whole body concept as far as nutrition and so forth. So there is a definite attraction where a woman wants to come and speak to another woman.
Yeah, sure.
And what feels better to a young child than having someone who's very nurturing and maternal.
Right.
And I think that all those things is why hopefully we're going to see that transition a bit more. We got to kind of get away from that. And I do think it is, but we kind of got to get away from that only men can be doctors.
Yeah, right.
And or the women are the office managers, or they're the nutritionists.
Yeah,
they're just as smart, just as brilliant. But we do have something a little bit different, though, and I do think that is true. And on the same token, there are going to be men who are going to prefer to go and talk to a male doctor. So to me, it's a win-win. You're right, though. We need to have a stronger presence. It would be interesting to see what the statistics are of women going into school, matriculating out, and then how many stay in practice.
That
would be really interesting. And if you've noticed at a lot of these conferences, and maybe in the past, even the imbalance of male speakers versus female, that's been very lopsided, and that is starting to shift a little bit too.
So what can we do as a community, both of industry, academics, practitioners, to help promote and encourage more women to get involved? And actually, even once they make the decision to become a healthcare provider and a chiropractor, how do we encourage them to be more active and advocates and spokespeople for the profession?
I think that is going to have to be, I think to some degree, it's a very grassroots level that has to happen. I think the shift will come as more women are willing to take on the role as a mentor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember part of why I'm doing what I'm doing is because of a female doctor and having that person be my mentor. And I noticed that there's a movement of us that are trying to not just encourage, but trying to inspire. We're trying to inspire women to not just sit back, and that to be just as in the forefront.
Right.
And I think it's just a slow movement, because you know how it goes. If women, we're just oftentimes perceived in one aspect. I've also, on the flip side, as much as I like working with women and children, I've had the other thing work against me, where, kid you not, the comment would be, "Well, does she adjust men?"
Wow.
I'm like, okay,
really?
Well, if you have a body, if you have a skeleton, I pretty much can adjust you. But so there is, I think we got a lot of misconceptions to work through. But I think the more, what you're talking about as far as showing women in that leadership role, showing that they can mentor and show them really what we can do. I think that'll help a lot. Yeah. That'll help a lot. They won't be seen as in kind of in the backseat.
Did you have a model or a mentor that was a woman, a female chiropractor that you, you know, held up or that made a difference in your career?
Yeah, one of the early ones that I heard speak was Dr. Janet Lang. She was really, I felt like she was really on the leading edge when it came to looking at functional endocrinology. The other one that actually, she's not a chiropractor, she's a naturopath, is Dr. Angela Highwood. Mm. And I remember, she's from Australia, and I just remember hearing her as well and going, wow, yeah, this is really cool, because right, she was neat because she had such a great understanding of phytotherapy, herbal therapy, right, with the whole food nutrition,
right,
with the endocrine system.
Yeah.
So those were the ones that I think early on I either studied under them, you know, went to their seminars, yeah, any kind of education that I could find.
Right.
Yeah.
Any advice or insight or story that you might share with you know, the young woman who's considering a career in chiropractic to really encourage them to go for it?
One of the things I love about it, and I'm so in favor of having people come visit my office, and I've had young women shadow me and do different
yeah,
things, and
great,
I think it's really good, is that I love the autonomy. So as a physician, you have so much more autonomy to lead and have the kind of practice that you want. So once you get through, if you decide you're in love with pediatrics,
right,
you can do pediatrics. You can focus on nutrition. You can focus on radiology or neurology.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's so limitless.
Yeah.
And the other thing is really just being your own boss. Being your own boss and creating the life that you want. I created a life that I wanted when my children were younger. And everybody knew, come school time, my schedule was going to change.
Right, right.
And then now, as they have gotten out of school, I've been able to do more from a speaking aspect. Because
right,
I have a little more freedom to travel. But I don't regret one bit of it. I don't regret any of the choices that I made along the way because of what this practice has given
right,
me,
right, right,
this
cool
profession.
So when you started out, did you start solo right away, or were you in a group? Or?
I was just saying, when I first started out, I was very part-time in a practice with my husband.
Uh-huh.
And then he left the practice probably, I'm trying to think, about 8 years ago, mm, maybe 10 years ago. So then I was solo for quite a while, and then,
yeah,
you know, hired an associate. I will say the tough part, it's sometimes feels very lonely, because a lot of times people are in a solo practice, which is why a conference like this is so important.
Yeah,
so,
right,
so you can connect with your peers and colleagues.
Are there any, you know, formal, say, women in chiropractic committees or associations that women can look forward to and build their own network of support?
Oh, that's such a great question, John. So we're in the process of creating one that's specifically focusing more on women. There have already been a lot of pediatric ones, and there's different ways you can do that. And so one of my very dear friends and colleague, Dr. Chris, is working on that. So we're trying to pull that together to give more back to the women in the profession. So we're not quite there yet. We're a little slow because we've been busy. But yeah, it's in the works.
Oh, that's awesome. For those of you joining us, this is the Holistic Matters podcast series, where we're trying to help people become the you that nature intended. We're here with Dr. Annette Schiple, talking about a lot of different topics. But I'd like to spend a little bit more time talking about the specifics of nutrition, and I often like to refer to it as nutrition therapy.
Yeah.
Because it has, you know, it's much more than preventive care.
Absolutely.
And while that's really important,
right,
there's, you know, even more impactful therapeutic approaches to patient care. But what's your own philosophy on the use and integration of nutrition? You shared a little bit of it earlier in kind of describing the emphasis in your practice, but how do you see, and why are you so convinced and passionate about the role of nutrition?
Well, I would say my philosophy in a nutshell is that everyone can be better, feel better, and live better.
Yeah.
I often equate getting healthy it's a journey. There's not,
right,
you know, and sometimes it's sort of like a journey in the summer in the car with
right,
children.
Yeah. And the windows up, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there's all those hiccups along the way. But I think the philosophy about it is that what I really look at is that if we can take a step back and we look at the person as a whole, right, that's where change happens. When
right,
we don't relegate them down to one system, one organ. And I think, like most of us that get into this, we've had a personal experience,
yeah,
you know. And I remember I went through school. I had two children when I started school.
Wow.
A single mom. Then I got married, had another child. Then I had another one right after school. to say that I was exhausted, overwhelmed, not feeling great. I think all of that came in. And, I didn't have a great foundation. People think that knowing nutrition is automatic for a chiropractor. It's actually not. Yeah. You have to get out. You have to learn. You have to find great companies to work with to get that kind of information to know what to do. I will tell you, this is really funny, but the one big thing that really, really turned me around was actually I did a really good detoxification.
Yeah.
And I was like, gosh, because with that, when you do it well, it's a lifestyle change along with it.
Yeah.
It's not a quick fix,
right.
But you get a glimpse of how good you can feel.
Right.
And then you start to go, my gosh, well, what else? And the funny part was patients then would come to me and go, okay, well, if you can do that, what else can you do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah,
and it kind of grew from there. And that was how my knowledge expanded because they needed me to.
Cool.
They named me
so when you did your first detox, what was it, 28 day, 21
it was,
or 10?
Well, back then, it was the 21 day
purification,
and I had some pretty bad habits going into it. But doing something like the 21 day, which now we have the new one, which is a 28 day metabolic detoxification. But you need that time to break habits, to learn new ones, and it really does kind of get you back on track.
So I suppose with the number of children you have, there's nothing too surprising that part of your practice is focused on pediatrics.
Know,
so you must love kids.
I do.
Is that where your practice started? Were you focused on pediatrics in the beginning, and then you kind of expanded that to include hormone endocrine support, and in particular for women or both men and women?
Yeah, I work with men as well, of course, but it's just in general, women are the first one to seek help.
Right.
So it started with the pediatrics and taking care of pregnant women and right afterwards, postpartum and so forth. And the funny part is that very, very early on, Carl, my husband, was a chiropractor as well, only he didn't want to do the nutrition. So anytime someone had a question, it's like, you got to go talk to my wife. You got to go talk to my mom. Okay, great. Now I got to get good at it. And it's kind of like, I think I started first with more stress, adrenal fatigue just being tired and kind of more simple problems.
Right.
Then it expanded into looking into more complex female health issues, thyroid issues.
Cool.
And we all have the same hormones, men and women. We just have them in a different ratio.
So
when you kind of understand what it takes to balance them, which is really the cool part about, I call what I do, holistic nutrition, but with a W. That's why I love this holistic matters. Because it is the whole body.
Right.
It's not about your duct tape on the check engine light or you're missing a drug, you're missing a hormone. If something's off, then you got to figure out why. Are you lacking the vitamin, the mineral, the enzyme, the protein? To make your hormones.
Interesting. So do you have particular clinical nutrition protocols, as an example, that you might use in each of the areas of therapeutic care? Like when it comes to hormone balance, and are there like patient assessment tools that you use to help assess the patient? And then typically, do you have a go-to nutrition product conditions like that?
Yeah, so help me if I get lost in my answers. I think first and foremost, the health history is the most important.
Yeah.
That is their story. And we have to take a look, not just at where they are right now, but how they got there. Because it reminds me of being a chiropractor, right? Doing the physical aspect. If I just listen, I pretty much know before my hands touch them where the subluxation is.
Right.
A lot of times, you just do. So the health history is really incredibly important. The way my practice is designed, I use labs as my other eye. So I might do functional blood chemistry. I do saliva testing for hormone balancing and see where they're at. Stool tests if I need to assess the gut. With little ones, one of my favorite tools is a hair analysis because it's very easy and it's a broad picture, but it gives you a lot of information. And so deciding, obviously, that's sort of that niche, figuring out what you need to test. That makes sense with their history, so you're not spending thousands of dollars on testing that's not going to be helpful or isn't going to change what you're going to do. My protocols, I always, we always kind of have our favorites and then we have the basics. Most of mine are always going to employ some herbal therapy along with whole food supplements. There are ones that work for me like 99% of the time, so those are the ones I'm going to lean on. But I try to always keep an open mind because everybody is different,
right?
Everybody's just a little bit different. One of the cool things, I think this is awesome, because in my office, when I have a patient in office, I do I do live blood cell microscopy. So if you're looking for really some digestive issues, so we're kind of talking a little bit about the detoxification.
Right.
You can see signs of like bowel toxicity and liver stress and deficiency. So it can really help you in the communication also with the patient. And to be honest, there's nothing like getting their attention than when they see.
Show them something.
Show them something. They can't ignore it, right?
Visual awareness, right?
Yeah. I mean, really, and the protocols just vary. I mean, it depends on, like with women, it depends on the age. You know, are they in puberty, post-puberty? Yeah. I mean, perimenopausal, menopausal. What is, you know, have they had children? Have they had difficulty? And, and some of it is also meeting their goals. Where do they want to be?
How do you decide the balance or the choice of botanical solutions versus, you know, whole food or just general and classic nutritional support?
Well, one thing I have learned, I feel like in the last, I think I've been doing nutrition for almost 18 years.
Yeah.
So almost as long as I've been a chiropractor, but not quite. What I realized is that, and this is probably also a very personal story, is that it's the meshing of the two together. That sometimes people are so depleted. So we need that's where the nutrition comes in. I kind of equate it like, you've got this garden you want to grow, right? You want an organic soil. You want the best soil possible. To me, that's looking at the whole food nutrition, the real B vitamins, you know, a whole food vitamin C, all the different minerals that are bioavailable, right? The herbs is like planting the most beautiful flower garden you could ever want to have.
Right, right.
It won't work if you don't have good soil.
Right.
And vice versa. If you have this great soil but you don't have anything to thrive in it, there's nothing there, then it doesn't go so well. So, and also a lot of herbs are very adaptive, right?
Yeah.
So first I'm gonna feed the body with what it needs to rebuild itself, right? So think vitamins, minerals, fats, proteins, so forth. But using something that's very adaptive is gonna tell the body, oh wait, this is what I need to do with it. I'm going to do this right now, but I'm not going to deplete. Now I'm going to add this in. So the adaptive process, I find, is what is the beauty from the herbs. And when you put the two together, it's magical, really.
Right. Any special examples of women's or men's health issue particularly related to the work that you do with hormone support or endocrine that you might highlight for practitioners listening on, hey, look for this, or maybe you didn't realize this was happening, but here's what this meant.
Okay.
To help you decide to do this.
Like,
so just the whole approach on, you know, support for a hormone balance, key issue and your key approaches.
The thing that I have found most consistent is that there's a lot of misunderstanding about hormones. So, you know, generally probably you think a lot of people are going, well, for men, it's testosterone. For women, it's either too much or too little of estrogen or progesterone.
Right.
And this is what I would want practitioners to take away is that if you go down there, you're looking at the downstream problem.
Right.
Almost all issues start first with not adapting to stress.
Because
that can throw off pituitary hormones that will throw off downstream hormones. It can upregulate enzyme pathways. So often, like for men, a lot of times they think they have low testosterone because they're tired and this isn't working right, blah, blah, blah. A lot of times that's good, but they're converting too much downstream to other hormones that are creating the symptoms that could mimic low testosterone. And that's kind of the crazy thing. When you're looking at hormones, you cannot rely on symptoms. You cannot.
Yeah.
You will get in trouble every single time. So when you need to, you do the appropriate lab testing, right? I have turned around, I would say, more hormone issues by really doing a good assessment of the adrenals and helping them adapt to stress, and where it allowed me to not have to recommend quite so much like hormone balance. Like, I love Chastity. I love Chastity for many reasons. It supports a cycling female. It improves sleep, melatonin, improves dopamine, so many great things. For men, I love ashwagandha because where they get in trouble again is stress, and ashwagandha is a great adaptogen for stress. So for men, the research has shown it can help improve their DHEA, which will improve their testosterone, normalize cortisol, thyroid, all these great things. So.
Cool. Is there any particular test or profile or biomarker that you look to monitor stress? You know, there's a lot of discussion on looking at ratios of, say, cortisol to DHEA levels. You know, and as you said, it's not just testosterone, it's kind of a combination or a spectrum. But
right.
Is there anything that you find to be particularly useful and helpful?
I think one of my favorite adrenal tests is the Adrenal Stress Index. Diagnostics has that test. The reason I love it so much is that you can easily pair it with like a male hormone panel or a female hormone panel. But what I love about it is that, so when you're looking at cortisol and DHEA ratio, you're looking at a stage of stress. So it's kind of like if they're both pretty good relative to each other, the person can still be under stress, but they're managing it a little bit better. If those two get out of balance, then you're looking at prolonged stress, right? And you're just kind of getting a gauge for, are we in this prolonged stress response? Are we getting exhausted?
Right.
So there's that. It also will look at insulin through saliva. So you get a blood sugar issues are big.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people.
Yeah. Big problem, right?
Yeah, doing too much. It's inflammatory. Yeah. Like you were talking about, there's so many ways to get in trouble. And it gives a window into the gut, so we get to look at a gut marker. We get to kind of have an idea about maybe some food sensitivities. And also just looking at precursor material. So for all of that, I think it's one of the best tools out there, and it's probably one of the ones I use the most. The other stuff is kind of like, and you got to dig a little bit more, you can go there. You can also, if you look at blood chemistry, hormones, it may not be quite, I don't think it's always as useful because it's harder to get serum-free. That's cost effective and it varies so wildly. But where blood chemistry can shine is like looking at lipids. If lipids are really low, that can be a sign of hyperadrenal hyperthyroid. Or we can look at low protein, maybe things off in albumin. We might see digestive markers, right?
Yeah,
or
right.
If alkaline phosphatase is really low, then you know you got a zinc deficiency. And you could look at the white blood cell count, the differential, right?
Yeah,
they got a chronic infection. So those things can be really helpful. Besides going, okay, one is hormones, but one is like, how are you absorbing? How are you utilizing your nutrients? How do you look in a bigger picture? Because that's going to be about a 6-month window, whereas saliva is like right now.
Yeah. Any advice that you'd give to the practitioner who's not fully utilizing nutrition, things that you might suggest to encourage them to start introducing it?
My advice would be that I would start with every new patient that they have coming in their door, give them a symptom survey. It's so simple. It asks some really great comprehensive questions. And then what it also does is it tells that particular patient, that new patient, that you do more than just adjust the spine. And then I think what every practitioner should know is that you can find the answers.
Yeah.
Right? So if you do this, and you're going, okay, this keeps coming up. There is always someone that's going to help you, guide you on like what the next step is. And you just have to be willing to do it.
Right.
And I hope that they are, right? Because it's so important to me that we look at the whole person.
Yeah. Awesome. This has been a Holistic Matters podcast series, helping you become the you that nature wanted. We're here with Dr. Annette Schiple of the Florida Chiropractic Association meeting. Annette, thanks very much for your time and your insight. It's like awesome talking to you.
Thank you so much, John.
And thanks a lot.
Thank you. That's great.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevere, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you like this podcast, please share with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we're talking about being the you that nature intended.